Good morning, church family. This is Pastor Elson. The message today is entitled, In the Dark. You may ask, why this title? Some of you may have already an idea. This month, the entire month of October, it is over and over by the media, by some traditions, by your own neighbor. Sometimes you see how much emphasis is given to the dark side of things. This is the time when you see the commercials on television with the dark side, ghosts, demons, all the scary stuff going on at this moment. So we decide to talk about what we need the most at this dark hour, these dark moments in our life and also in our history. We needed to have a light in the dark. So this is what we'll be talking about in the dark, as we decide to give the title for our message. Psychologists tell us that one of the most difficult conditions a person, a human being, can be forced to bear is light deprivation. Darkness, in fact, is often used in military captivity or penal institutions to break down an individual's sense of self. Once a person becomes disoriented, once they lose a sense of where they are and what it is that lurks in the dark around them, or where the next hole or wall or attack may come from. Once they can no longer feel in control of their physical surroundings, a person loses a sense of self. Every shred of self-confidence shrinks. The giant within then falls and they become crying prey of the unknown. The natural instinct to be combative, paralyzed by fear, the spirit of resistance becomes weak. The prisoner becomes more obedient, more submissive, more willing to take directions. It disarms a person. This falls into the sinkhole of sensory deprivation. It can drive them into insanity. Every military knows, an effective technique. Nothing does more than darkness to isolate us from the sense of human support and also understanding, which, whether we are calmly conscious of it or not, is the human being's main source of self-definition. It is light. Indeed, darkness separates us from reality. It disorients a person physically, psychologically, as well as spiritually. May I ask you, have you ever been afraid or fearful of people or circumstances that seem beyond your control? Have you, my brother and sister, been in the dark and became overwhelmed with fear because you did not know what was going to happen next? Have you been in a dark situation in your life when you did not know where to go because you could not see a clear path before you? Sometimes the phrase in the dark might be used also to indicate that we are confused, simply confused. Or maybe we do not understand what is going on. Maybe things are not clear enough, or they are puzzled. We become puzzled. A very accomplished science fiction writer and also futurist, H.G. Wells. He lived through the dark days when London was being bombarded by the Nazis during the Second World War. One evening, a fellow writer named Elizabeth Bowen found H.G. Wells outside, shaking with fear. As she approached him, he said to her, "It is not the bombs. It's not the bombs. It is the dark. I have been afraid of darkness all my life." A grown man, shaking like a little child, afraid of darkness, just because he has been afraid of dark all his life. Ephesians 6:12, in a contemporary English version, Apostle Paul tells this to us: we are not fighting against humans. This battle is not against humans. Actually, we are fighting against forces and authorities and against rulers of darkness and powers in the spiritual world. Sometimes people are using these dark things as a matter of fun. This is not fun. To play with the rulers of darkness is not fun. In the dark, in a spiritual sense, we may say, spiritually speaking, darkness manifests itself in many different forms. Not just dressed in a costume, but also dressed in hate, dressed in arrogance, in lies, greed, indifference, and in injustice. Not caring how your actions affect others. Destructive behavior is a way to manifest darkness. Destructive behavior towards yourself and as well as towards others. And there's nothing more destructive than selfishness. Selfishness is a reflection, if I may say the word reflection, which doesn't apply to darkness, but in this case it does. Selfishness is the heart of what darkness is all about. All the things that Satan, the prince of darkness, brings into our lives in order to turn off that precious light from God that is Jesus Christ in us. It is also Paul in Colossians 1:13, a New Century Version, who said, "God has freed us from the power of darkness, and he brought us into the kingdom of his dear son," S-O-N, his dear son. Psalms 112, verse 4, New Living Translation tells us, "Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They," the godly, "are generous, are compassionate, and are righteous." In other words, they shine when God brings that light into their lives. Make no mistake, brother and sister, darkness can grow inside of anyone, even us who call ourselves Christians. In Luke 11, verse 34 and 35, I'm reading from the New King James. It says, "The lamp," those are Jesus' words. It says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness." Brothers and sisters, the lamp of the body is the eye. If Christ is in your life, you have vision. You have more than just ability to see, you have vision. I always ask God when I get out of my home, I say, "Lord, allow me to use your eyes so I can look at everyone that I meet, everyone that I talk. I can see the goodness in them the way you see them." We need good eyes so we can see good in people. We need good eyes so we can be full of light. We need to have a good eye so that we can see in each person the potential, the way God sees in each one. Each one of us, even when we are sinners, God looks the good in us. And we pray that God fill your heart with light so they will be able to see the good in others. the question, how does darkness manifest itself in one's life? By words, by actions, and by evil thoughts. There are people that open their mouth and all that comes out of their mouth is darkness. There are people that are constantly are committed only to do what is dark to their actions. And even their thoughts are always dark. They always try to be negative about everything else. They walk like darkness is controlling every aspect of their lives. God is calling us to a new light, to walk out of darkness. But there are people that prefer darkness over the light. During the night, some years ago, and this is going to sound familiar because it looks like just what is happening right now for the past few months, since May. During the night, some years ago, the lights went out in a very large, major American city. There was a huge power failure. The whole city was covered in darkness. The first night was just confusion. But in the second night, something started to happen. Few people decide to go out and take advantage of the darkness and start to break in stores and business and start looting. I don't like to call looting. I call it start to steal, you know, because they are just thieves. They start smashing shop windows and they start walking away with laughs in their face, with joy in their face, with a TV set, with toasters, with stereo systems, and many other things. And some of them even set the business on fire. Whatever they could lay their hands on, they took. In the dark, business were practically destroyed completely. And those were people that are there in that area to be a blessing to their community, and yet their business were completely destroyed. They were not destroyed by hard criminals. Not that they were not criminals up to that point, but they were the neighbors. People that were called ordinary people who live up in the up to the road. People that look like normal people during the daytime. But that moment in the dark, darkness took over their lives and turned them into hard criminals. In fact, sometimes darkness can become so common in one's life that they don't even are able to see the harm that this sin is caused to them, into their neighbors, into their community, into everybody else. They are overwhelmed with selfishness, and they only think about themselves. And they went in the dark to produce the works of darkness. There are so many people in our community, yes, sadly, even in churches, who live in darkness and don't even realize it. John said well in 1 John 2, verse 9 through 11, New Living Translation. He said, if anyone claims I am living in the light, but hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But, verse 11, but anyone who hates a fellow believer is he still living in walking darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by darkness. I know that sometimes people try to justify these criminal acts by saying, oh, they have a reason. No one has the reason to steal from other people. No justification to be criminal just because somebody has become disrespectful for your own personal rights. It doesn't give anybody the right to go on out and steal from other people. That's not right. That's darkness. In the Bible, darkness is associated with things that are evil, even death. Under the cover of darkness, many crimes are committed. We think of many acts of cruelty and violence created in the dark. That death is described as something dark and sinister. During this time of the year, it's very common to see the pictures of a death, and it's all dark. One day I went to Home Depot, and I didn't expect that Home Depot was going to be selling all this. In one corner, it looks like a cemetery. All these death symbols, all these sinister things. People are spending money to promote darkness. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, is very familiar to all of us. In the New King James, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Basically saying that faith is what brings things to light. If you have faith, then you'll be able to see even things that you cannot see. So faith basically is that powerful light that God creates inside of us. Walk in faith during dark moments in our lives is the same as having light, even though you will be surrendered by darkness. It is also Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 that tells us, verse 11, it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Expose the works of darkness. Sometimes we are fearful to be contradicting to other people, to having conflict, and sometimes we remain silent when we see the power of darkness all around us. Paul says, expose them. In verse 13, he says, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. It's Christ who brings them. It's Christ who exposed them. For whatever makes manifest is light. And in verse 14, he says, therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. And by the way, he's not talking about here the physical dead. He's talking about the spiritual dead. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Some churches looks like more like a morgue than a place, a lighthouse. Every church is supposed to be a lighthouse. Every Christian is supposed to be like a lighthouse. We must reflect the light that the Lord wants us to reflect. Here is an illustration. There is an old story about a desert nomad, you know, the person who travels, you know, nomad, who woke up in the middle of the night and he was feeling very hungry. So he lit a candle and began looking for something to eat. And then he saw this bowl with dates inside. So he took one and he took a bite. And as he took a bite, he saw a worm coming out of it. Oh, yuck. Immediately, he threw that outside of his tent. Then he went and took a second one. And he took a bite. Oops, another worm. Ugh, he threw that away also. Then he started thinking, what about if there is worm in every one of them? How am I going to do when I'm hungry? Oh, he decided to do something then. He says, let me do this. He blew out the candle and he started eating the dates and ate all of them. But this illustration starts to tell us that sometimes people prefer the darkness because they don't want to see the warmth. They want just to eat. They want just to fulfill their pleasures, their needs. They don't want to be told there are worms because they don't want to be changed. In the light, their faults are exposed. They rather keep on eating, keep on doing their things in their old ways, so they don't care that the light will show them what is wrong about what they are doing. In the Gospel of John says this. And this is the condemnation, that the light, which is Christ, has come into the world, and all humans love darkness rather than the light. They love more darkness, Satan himself and his works, than Christ, the light, and his works. Because, the verse says, because their deeds were evil. That's why they love more darkness than the light. John 3, verse 19. It was our scripture for this morning. The closer we find ourselves to the light, the more others will be able to see this wonderful light that shines through us, in us. Jesus also said in John 8, verse 12, I'm reading from New King James, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is the light. The light that each church must elect, a light that each home must project, a light that each one of us must reflect, a light that Jesus has is a light that comes into us, not to bring us condemnation, but to bring us salvation. Not to shame us, but to shine to us. Jesus is the real light, a light that brings everything to life. Brothers and sisters, I hope that Jesus in your mind is your dear creator. He is our hope. He is our redeemer. He is our strength. He is our shield. He is our defender. He is our present, and he is our tomorrow. He is our friend. He is our life. He is the light that we need as we go through the dark moments in our lives. Psalms 18:28, New King James says, for you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Yes, he will. All that we have to do is to be willing to accept that light in our lives. He is the light who guides us along life's journey, along pandemic, along any circumstance. When we sometimes have more questions than answers, Jesus is the light that wants to be there to guide us. Proverbs 4, verse 18 and 19, New King James says, but the path of the just is like the shining sun, S-U-N, that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. Verse 19 says, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. They have no clue because they walk in darkness. But not the just. The just live like the shining sun, S-O-N and S-U-N. Either way, Jesus is the light that dissipates the darkness of guilty to those who seek forgiveness. If darkness shows itself in your family, if darkness shows itself in your friendships, if it is dark, shows up and manifests in your church, in your community, in our beloved country, even in our own lives. Please remember, brothers and sisters. Please remember, children. Please remember, young people. The sun, S-O-N, will be there to shine his healing light upon everyone who seeks him. Turn on the light, brother and sister, the real light in your life. Christ has commanded us to let our light shine before the world. Matthew 5:14-16, in the New Living Translation, Jesus says to us, you are the light of the world. You are the hope that the world needs. like a city on the hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then just put it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on the stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise the Heavenly Father, will praise Abba, because you have the light, because you shine, you give hope to other people. Let your neighborhood, let everyone who deals with you in the daily business, whatever you do, and let your children, your families, let your church members, let everyone see that God has set your light on. Not to be under a basket, but to be standing up. And we are living in days when we need to stand up. There's not much time left for us to stand up in the dark to represent the true light. Darkness was the beginning of many things. If you look in your Bible, you see that in creation, right in the beginning, Genesis, it says there was darkness, and then God created light. And how he created light? He became present in darkness, and darkness moved away, and light was there. And light has been there since then with us. That's why we need light. The Bible in Genesis also talks about the darkness in a particular prison in Egypt, where Joseph received his commission and became one of the most powerful men in the world back then. He was also in the dark of a midnight when a simple man became a mighty warrior, Gideon. He was also in the darkness of the belly of the fish that a very controversial prophet didn't want to go and preach, but he reconciled with God and he became a missionary among his own enemies. In the darkness of the night, it was when Samuel, a young boy, recorded God's voice and became a mighty prophet. It was also in a dark moment in a lion's den that Daniel recognized God as the King of Kings and the King of Beasts and became an evangelist to the royalty. It was also in the darkness of a tomb that Lazarus heard the invitation to come out of darkness into life. And he became an example of a new life in Jesus Christ. It was also in darkness of his own eyes that Saul resolved to live for Christ and to become a powerful light to his church. It was also in darkness of death that Jesus Christ rose to rescue humanity and to reign as the Savior and the light of the world. And today he counts on you. You. Today he wants you. This is what the Lord says to you today. Dear beloved, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are my special people. You must proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, Jesus Christ, who once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10, New King James. Brothers and sisters, I remember when I was living in darkness. I remember that precious day when I was here listening to a preacher in a week of prayer in this school. When he made an invitation I went to my room. I didn't stand up and went in front or anything else. I didn't. But in my heart, I went back to my room. And throughout the night, I couldn't sleep. I had only one thing in my mind. I have to accept that light. Early in the morning, I got up and I went to talk to the pastor. I shared this story with you a few times. And I told him, I want to be baptized. I want to be baptized today. I want to become a child of light. I want to be baptized today. And that was the first day in my life, because that afternoon I was baptized. And since then has been the most delightful experience of my life, that God has called me from darkness into life. And by God's mercies, I accept. And I know that some of you that are listening to us this morning are asking yourself this question: how can I move out of my darkness corner? How can I move out of darkness? I may be harboring some darkness in my life. I'm refusing sometimes to let this bright light shine in my life. What must I do? If you allow Christ to turn on the lights in your heart so that you may become a lighthouse. Yes, brothers and sisters, Jesus' love will change you. His life will change you. You must remember that His love will never change. He always will love you from the moment that you turn to Him. And He will love you forever. His light will never fade. It will be always present in you as long as you let the light to be on. It is time for us to move out of darkness. It is time for us to be the people of God. For us to shine. It is my prayer this morning that all of you accept the light that has been offered to you and walk out of darkness. It is not time for us to be overwhelmed with darkness. It's time for us to have faith and allow that light to shine in our lives. This pandemic, this turmoil that is going on around the world, and especially here in our country, can be overwhelming for some people. Some people do not have their jobs. Some people are struggling. Some people have a lot of uncertainty inside of them. Nobody could ever imagine that we will become sometimes prisoners in our own homes. And our homes can be a delightful place, but not as a jail. Yes, there are some people that are going through very dark moments. If you are one of them, this message is for you. Let Jesus shine in your life. Turn on the lights. God bless you. Amen.
At this time, we will close today's service with the hymn of affirmation. This is Sister Dawn and Sister Donya Tayag. Please turn to hymn number 223, Crown Him with Many Crowns, second, third, and fourth stanzas.
This session is no longer being recorded.
Crown Him the Lord of all. Behold His hands and side. Those wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight. But downward bent His wandering eyes, that mystery so great. Crown Him the Lord of peace, whose hand a scepter sways, from pole to pole that faces, and all be prayer and praise. His reign shall know no end, and round his pierced feet their flowers of paradise extend, their fragrance ever sweet. Round him the Lord of years, the potentate of time, creator of the rolling seas, ineffably sublime. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise shall never, never fail throughout eternity.
At this time, we'd like to ask everyone to bow down your heads for the benediction. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your kindness to us. When sin brought darkness to this life, brought darkness to our lives, you are kind and generous to allow the light, the everlasting light, Jesus Christ, to shine in our lives. Now we ask you, please, to use us as vessels. Use us, Lord, to shine hope to other people. Allow us, Lord, with our lives to live a meaningful life so that as the world is dealing with darkness, that it will be there to provide hope to those that come in contact with us. Shine in our own lives, Lord, so that we cannot be overwhelmed with fear. Allow us, Lord, to have faith and not fear. Allow us to have hope and not despair. Allow us, Lord, to have Christ to reign in our lives. And let, Lord, us to be, just like in the past, take this moment of darkness and turn into a moment of light. In the name of Christ, we bring your family, your children to you, and ask you, please, to lift them up, light them up, and put them in stand so that everybody in their house can see this healing light that shines through us and in us. In the name of Christ, we ask. Amen.
My peace I give unto you. It's a peace that the world cannot give. It's a peace that the world cannot understand. Peace to know, peace to live. My peace I give unto you. My joy I give unto you. It's a joy that the world cannot give. It's a joy that the world cannot understand. Joy to know, joy to live. My joy I give unto you. My love I give unto you. It's the love that the world cannot give. It's the love that the world cannot understand. Love to know, love to live. My love unto you.
But now, brothers and sisters, being made free from sin and having become a servant of God, you have your fruit of sanctification and the result of eternal life. It is our mission here in Vista to put God first, to serve others, and to make disciples. May the Lord grant you the ability to shine the light that He has planted in your heart. May God give you the ability to look forward with hope, because as you look back, you see the blessings that He has given to you. That gives you confidence for the steps ahead of you. God bless all of you.